Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this last program of 2023. I hope you've had a wonderful Christmas with family and friends. I know we did. And I hope that you will enjoy the message preached by my father. As we are on the cusp of a brand new year, 2024, we do not know what the future may hold. We look at scripture and we look at world events. And as so many have offered, he could come at any moment, and we need to be ready. So, the message that Dad will preach is titled, Do You Want to Be Saved? It's important that we know the answer to that question. So I hope that you will enjoy the message and be challenged by it, as we always feature my father on the last weekend of a given month. Don't forget to pray for me. I'm involved in revival meetings during the month of January. January the 7th, Sunday only, Orleans, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. January 12 to 14, Monticello, Mississippi, at the Methodist Protestant Church. And then January 21 to 24, DeLand, Florida, at the Church of the Nazarene. So I do covet your prayers as we will start up our meetings for the new year. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience, and I pray that you would be with all of us as we begin this new year, and may we purpose in our hearts that we're going to make sure that Jesus Christ is first in all that we do, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I pray for those who are sick, those who are shut in, those who need a special touch from you, those who are struggling. I pray that you would provide for them whatever the need might be. We love you today, Father. Thank you so much for your love in our lives. I ask and pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to me as we begin this new year. We have need of supporters, as we've had to say goodbye to some in 2023. And so I hope that if you listen to the program and you've never taken the time to write us a letter, that maybe in the year 2024, you would consider making the Lights of Spiritual Guidance a part of your giving. We do not ask for your tithe. We ask for offerings. We believe in storehouse tithing, giving into the local church. And if you have an offering you could give, it would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. May God bless you.
For many years he sat beside a dusty road, begging alms of those who passed his way. All his life he lived alone in darkness. His eyes had never seen the light of day. But today, a special miracle was waiting. For soon he heard the Master passing by. He cried, Thou Son of David, please have mercy. As someone took his hand and said, Arise, he's calling out your name, and he says, Come unto me, Don't let him pass you by. He's the answer to your need. Reach out to him in faith. Through his power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. He calls to the oppressed and to the weary. He's calling those with wasted, broken lives. Just like the little blind man, he will touch you. So no matter what you need, my friend, arise. He's calling out your name. And he says, come unto me. Don't let him pass you by. He's the answer to your need. Reach out to him in faith. Through his power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. Reach out to him in faith. His power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. He's calling out your name. He's calling your name.
Verse 34, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. And verse 40, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. My message tonight will be entirely different than anything that I have brought thus far in this encampment. But praying today, I couldn't seem to get away from the truth that these scriptures suggest to our thinking tonight. And out of these scriptures that we have in this passage, I want to speak to you on a subject that may seem somewhat elementary. In fact, you may think that this subject or the statement of my message will be somewhat absurd when I reveal to you the truth of my subject. But tonight, as the Spirit shall help us, I want to ask you a very personal and pertinent question. It involves every person in this congregation, preacher and layman alike. And that question is this: do you really want to be saved? You say, Mr. Lohman, that is quite absurd. To ask a question such as that in a holiness camp meeting and in an evangelistic service, when most of the people that are the constituents of this camp and that have graced this tabernacle with their presence, many of them brought up in the environs of evangelical preaching and in the belief of the Wesleyan doctrine of heart purity, that it's strange that you would confront a congregation with such a question. And yet, my friends, tonight, I believe it deserves an answer. From every individual in this building, you might say to me, you know that every person, when the final curtain rings down, when we come to the last ebb tide of life, that we want to be sure, beyond any doubt, that we are saved, and the Spirit of God bears witness to the fact that we've been redeemed from a life of sin. But if you'll notice that the Master, in this passage that I read in your hearing, was directing these truths to the churchmen of his day. He knew that they professed a measure of religion. He was speaking to them and very emphatically stated that these things I have said unto you, that you might be saved. He said to this group of church people in verse 38, ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. And in verse 42, he says, I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Every person in this building tonight knows beyond any doubt whether or not you have been redeemed from a life of sin. The Spirit of God bears witness to that fact. If you have been delivered from the sin that condemns the soul, it's tragic these days that so many people will give mental assent to the fundamentals of the faith and say they believe in what the Bible teaches, and yet at the same time, their lives does not produce a real living witness conducive to Christian influence that convinces others that they have what they profess. It's not enough to pretend. It's not enough to make a profession. And I've stated more than once, it's not enough to know something about holiness terminology and theological expression and all of the facts pertaining to the church discipline in that that we stand for. I believe from the deep of my soul that we have to know beyond any doubt that the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our heart and our sins have been forgiven and we've renounced everything that is unlike the Lord and said goodbye to anything that contaminates the soul and retards our spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in this passage tonight, you want life, but you won't come to me that you might have life. I've had them say to me in various areas across this country, why they've said, Mr. Lohman, you don't mean to say that you believe that in order to make it to heaven, that a person will have to cut the shorelines loose and go by the way of Calvary and find themselves in the dusk of humility at an old rugged cross at the place of prayer and follow the old-fashioned ideas that men followed in the yesteryears. I've often said I'm not always talking about 40 years ago, but I believe the same blood that cleansed the heart in the yesteryears is the same blood that will cleanse the heart tonight. And I do not believe that God looks upon sin with the least degree of allowance. You'll have to absolutely place yourself at the disposal of God's will and let him not only save you from your outward transgressions, but I believe that if that's done and it's a positive reality in regeneration, you'll have a constant daily desire in your soul to have the want to of sin taken out of your life so that you might be a vessel sanctified and meet for the Master's use to bring honor and glory to his matchless name. Yes, my friends, tonight I believe that all men want to be saved, but the tragedy is not all men want to be saved from sin. I know that that word sin, a little three-letter word, may not seem to be so prominent in this modern day. They say that we shouldn't say too much about sin today, that it's kind of a pardonable weakness, and that we certainly ought not to preach too straight against sin and what its effects are in this modern day when people are more intellectually inclined. Listen, friend, I'm convinced that the reason that this world is in the mess, if you'll pardon that term that it's in tonight, is simply because we have not had as much preaching against sin as we ought to have. I made the statement the other night and repeat it now. Give us a revival among the men of the cloth across America and cause them to stand in the gap and not only know that they've been redeemed themselves and the Holy Ghost abides, but take the stand that they ought to in preaching the word, being instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long suffering. And if we could have that kind of revival in the pulpit, I believe we could have a revival in the pew that would make men and women sick of sin and cause them to turn their eyes away from the thing that condemns the soul. We're living in a day, as the preacher preached this morning, there's not too many people that want to pay the price for real true discipleship. Most people do not want a disciplined life, and they want to live just about like they please in any measure that they so desire, and almost challenge the preacher to say anything about how they live, where they go, their attitudes, their dispositions, and the way they conduct themselves. But my friends, mark it well, as the prophet of old stood one day and said, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. My friends, there needs to be a trumpet sounded now. An alarm needs to be sounded in the holy mountain relative to the sin business. And we need to take our stand against anything that would retard a real disciplined life. I remember preaching some years ago in a large church, in a large city church, in a large town in East St. Louis, Illinois. And my friends, I shall not forget one evening a lady was so kind to invite us into their home. And at the supper table she said to me, Mr. Loman, are you serious about the way that you've been preaching in our church? I said, I've never been more serious about anything in my life. Well, she said, you just don't know who some of our members are. She said, we've got some stewards that take a drink occasionally, and we've got some ladies in our church that play cards for cut glass and nylon hose, and we've got young people that dance till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And she said, the way you've been preaching in our church, the people that do those things are going to hell. I said, that's exactly right, lady. She said, you don't mean that. I said, I certainly do mean that. Those people that have been to Calvary, brother, they don't take a drink, and they don't sit around the card table gambling. There's somebody says, well, what's wrong with playing a little game of bridge? People that's going to heaven don't live like that. They don't engage in such activities. Well, you say, Mr. Loman, tonight, that's just your opinion. No, that's not my opinion. Christians don't gamble. And brother, mark it down. I got as much confidence in the fella down here at the horse race in Miami as I have the fella that'll match for a Coca-Cola at the drugstore counter. Brother, sin is sin. It's all wrong. And you just can't expect to have life and have victory in your soul and live that kind of life. It cannot be done. Brother, people that are going to heaven are sick of sin. They're tired of sin. They turn their back on sin. And brother, no use to try to dress it up. And I remember some years ago in our city when they were trying to get the alcoholic beverage stores in our city, the ABC stores, if you please. We have had a city of 80,000 people. We needed 2,500 names on a petition of people, registered voters, to keep them from having a local option in our city to put local ABC stores in control in the city. We couldn't get 2,700 church members out of 80,000 people to put their name on the dotted line saying they were opposed to liquor stores. And my friends, a fellow said to me that was one of the churchmen, why, he said, we shouldn't be against it. Why, that way, if they put it in the stores, we can get good liquor. I said, there's no such thing as good liquor. It's all the slop of the devil and the hot water of hell. And brother, listen, whether you voted against it or whether you stayed at home and didn't vote for it, brother, you ought to ask the Lord to help you if you haven't got spiritual backbone enough to take your stand against the thing that damns men's souls and sends people to hell. And he said to me, why, he said, it looks a lot better if we put it in there on the shelf and have a fellow with a little white jacket on to dispense it over the counter. He said, we'd dress it up. We'd put the ABC letters out there gilded in gold on the window, and you dress it up. It looks a lot better like that. I said, yes, you can put a fur coat on a sow, but she's still a sow, and she'll waller in every mud hole she can. Brother, you don't get rid of sin by dressing it up. You don't get rid of sin by taking communion on Sunday morning. You don't get rid of sin, brother, by going through some little formal, dead, ritualistic ceremony on Sunday morning. The only way to get rid of sin is get under the blood, have the blood applied, and say goodbye to sin, and let God do something for you and deliver you from it. Brother, you don't get rid of it signing the card. Shaking hands of the preacher. Having a little water poured on your head and pushed under a pool somewhere. Brother, you got to go to Calvary. Got to know it. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Brother, you can use every substitute you please, but that won't do it. They say, well, we don't need to preach against sin and lust and drunkenness and gambling and lying and cheating and immoral living and lewd dress. That's the reason we got so much of it going on. Because we haven't preached against it. And in the name of high heaven, if we're ever going to take a stand against something like that, who do you suppose is supposed to take the stand? I'm speaking to any preachers tonight. I get in trouble when I say this, but if I'm speaking to any of you preachers tonight, that your backbone's like a jellyfish and you haven't got what it takes to preach against sin, you ought to quit the ministry. In fact, they ought to run you out of town for getting money under false pretense. You say, Brother Loman, that's unpopular. Well, I'm not courting popularity. I never expect to be popular as long as I live, but I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to do my best not to have anybody's blood on my hands, brother, when I come to the judgment. And I'm not a fanatic, and I'm not a fool. I'm just against sin, brother. And I've said it before, and I don't major on minors, and I'm not always talking about the externals, but I said not too long ago, I hope, trust, and pray that God will raise up some new fashion designer in this country, brother. That they'll bring us back to some styles that will somehow bring us back to the days of modesty. It's a shame and a disgrace that a decent woman has to walk all over town or drive to two or three towns, brother, to find a dress that's got enough hem left in it to let it down to where it'd be decent enough to wear without being embarrassed. Now, I know I'm going to get myself in trouble with a lot of you folks tonight, but that's all right, brother. I'm going to do my best to be true to God and to the old-fashioned way. And one reason we got so much immorality and so much loose, lewd living is because we haven't had too many fellas that take their stand against it. Saved, but they don't want to be saved from sin. I confronted a businessman in my town right after I moved to my last pastorate, and I pastored the church for nearly 7 years. Church member, had coffee with him at least two mornings a week, talked to him about his soul every day that I was ever with him. And that man, beloved, it's just like, if you'll pardon the terminology, just like pouring water on a duck's back. Member of the church, that's all I need. I said to him one day with some other men, I said, now, of course, Bill doesn't claim to be a Christian. That's the reason he doesn't go to church every Sunday. And he wheeled around, and it disturbed him that I said that. He said, yes, I do claim to be a Christian. I said, how long has it been since you've been to church on Sunday? I knew it. I said, I'll dare say that 90% of the Sundays the last 12 months you've spent in your lakeside cottage down here by the lake. And as far as God was concerned and the church was concerned, they could have closed the doors and went out of business. He said, now you ought not to make that too hard on me, preacher. I said, that's not near as hard as God's going to make it on you when you come down to die. And I just wasn't. well say this while I'm on this, brother. I don't believe a fella is ready to meet God. I don't believe a fella, brother, is really saved, that's on his way to heaven, that'll get up on Sunday and stick a boat to the back end of his automobile and run off the boat around the river all day on Sunday and picnic around on the Lord's Day. Brother, listen, if you're saved, there's no place under heaven you'd rather be than in the Lord's house. Get your heart fixed up right, brother. And that's the thing, that when you talk about judgment and talk about the second coming and talk about dying, it disturbs a lot of people. But I talked to him every chance I got. I made up my mind I wouldn't have his blood on my hands. Just a little over a year ago, one evening at 6 o'clock, I had the news on. I was in High Point. I just spoke in the evening service at the Lamb's Nursing Home in High Point, Brother Sister Lamb sitting back there. And I turned on my radio. And brother, my blood almost ran cold in my veins when they broke into the regular news hour and for it with a special bulletin that this businessman that I just referred to had been found dead in his lakeside cottage with a woman that worked for him in his shoe store. Murdered her. Committed suicide. Yes. But he was a member of the church. Listen, friend, I'm frank to tell you, your church membership won't put you out of the sin business. There used to be a time you couldn't even join the church unless you proved yourself. In fact, when I first joined the Holiness Movement, they took me on probation. And for 6 months, I had to prove myself, brothers. But now they'll take you in by proxy. Just about anybody can join the church anymore. But it's one thing to join the church. It's another thing to be done with the sin business, brother. And I want to tell you, church membership's not going to get you inside the city of God. You're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to be saved. And brother, I want to say this and want the Spirit to put it where it belongs in case there's anybody here that's got the mistaken idea that you can sin around and fool around and play around every day with the sin business and still go to heaven. Brother, he didn't die to save you in your sins. He died to save you from your sin.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.